Okay, great. So let's get started by singing a couple songs, guys, all right? All right, everybody stand up. That's everybody, everybody. Okay. I've got the joy, joy,
joy, joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
I've
got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay.
Being here for my third time leading singing in my entire 30 years of living, so thanks very much. So let's try another song that I know a little bit better. Everybody get your fingers out, get ready. This little light
of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine all the time, let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine.
Let Satan
it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine all the time. Let it shine.
Yeah. All right, great. Thanks very much. Okay, so next one we can sit down for, we'll take a break. That's for all you back there. These guys could stand all day, I'm sure. All right. Blue skies
and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see. When my Lord's living in me, I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my promise me that we never.
So we were going to do Jesus Loves Me. I don't know it really well, so I'm going to get you started. And then you all have this better memorized than I do. So listen for Jared and we'll get going, okay? Jesus loves me,
this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones who can be loved, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The
And nobody knows the second verse, so we'll just skip that one. Everybody stand back up. We're going to do another standing one. Oh, don't say, oh, no. This is going to be fun, all right? You get to march for this one, all right? We're going to do Lord's Army.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy.
Okay, we're gonna
do the cowboy version now. Do you remember the cowboy version? All right, so you gotta go bow-legged for this one. You've been riding a horse for 20 years. You're ready to go. All right.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army.
I'm in
the Lord's army. Yeehaw! I'm in the Lord's army. Yeehaw! I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army.
See, we used to do the gangsta version too, but that one's culturally insensitive, so we're going to skip that. Thanks for participating, everybody. Go ahead and sit down. Okay, so today, getting into the Bible portion of this Bible lesson, we're going to be talking about a guy named Daniel. Anybody recognize that name from the Bible? You probably should. Okay, so what was Daniel famous for? Anybody? He almost got eaten by some lions one time, but the Lord protected him. Now, a long time before that happened, a long time before he started his career as a royal advisor, which got him into trouble and got him thrown in the lion's den to begin with, Daniel was a young man living in the nation of Judah. Now, sometime before Daniel was in this situation, God had punished the northern kingdom of Israel because they used to be God's people. But they disobeyed, and they got taken away into captivity in Babylon. So, the king of Judah at this time had, oh, his name Jehoiakim, okay? But you don't need to remember that. All you need to remember is he was the evil king, right? What he decided to do was God said, "You shall have no other gods before me." And he said, "Yes, I will." And God said, "Now you get to go to captivity in Babylon, and all of your people with you." So thanks to the work of the evil king, the Babylonian king comes in, and he takes everybody into captivity. But especially out of those people, he selects all of the noblemen, all of the young men of rich and powerful families, and he says, "I'm going to teach these guys to be good Babylonians, so that way all of the people of Israel are going to listen to what I have to say. That's a pretty smart plan. The only problem with this plan is he didn't count on Daniel being one of those guys. So Daniel and his three friends, who you'll recognize when I tell you their Babylonian names, get taken along with everybody else into captivity in Babylon. And when they get there, the king says, all right, bring all these guys together. We're going to teach them how to be good Babylonians. And whatever's on my table, you feed them the same things. Whatever fancy food the king's eating this week, that's what those guys get to eat too. Sounds like a pretty good plan, right? The king is not a poor guy by any stretch. So, I mean, they're not eating Big Macs and Taco Bell over here. We're talking about, like, fancy food. Olive Garden, even. So, when the king brings these guys together and puts all this fancy food in front of them and says, you can eat whatever you want, drink the wine, eat the food, have an extra piece of cake, whatever you feel like, fill up. Daniel says, actually, I think I'll pass on the ice cream and the sprinkles, and I would like some carrots and a glass of water instead. And same for my friends. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I told you you'd recognize them. Those guys are famous too. They said, yep, we're okay with this plan. But the guy who was in charge of the captives was a little concerned because it wasn't really him who was going to get in, you know, wasn't really them that was going to get in trouble. It was going to be him, right? And then his wasn't just going to be his boss. It was going to be his boss's boss's boss. It's going to be the king who's going to be in trouble, and then heads are going to get him in trouble, and heads are going to roll, maybe literally. So Daniel says, trust me on this. 10 days. 10 days. It's a week and a half, you know? Just feed us vegetables and water for 10 days and see how things go. And the guy says, all right, I think I can get away with this for 10 days without getting in trouble. Besides, I mean, it's vegetables and water. It's got to be an easy enough thing to pull off, so we'll give it a shot. So in the meantime, they're still studying. They're still learning all of the things that the Babylonian rulers have to learn, all of the things that you need to know in order to run the Babylonian government. So God sees what Daniel and the other boys are doing, and he says, yeah, I like these guys. I'm going to give them an extra measure of wisdom and intelligence. However that works. It probably doesn't work like this, but that's how I'm illustrating it. Okay, so Daniel and the boys are eating their vegetables, getting sprinkled with a little extra wisdom every once in a while. God's continuing to bless them so they grow and get smarter and get better at doing their jobs. And then there's an exam. So these guys have been doing this for way longer than 10 days because it turns out this is a really great plan. And so when the king says, bring me all those guys you've been testing out and let me see who's good out of them and who I want to use. Who's going to work in my court? Who's going to be employed for the king? The officials bring in all the guys and the king quizzes them. He says, what's the capital of Nigeria? And the other guy's like, I don't know. What's the atomic weight of beryllium? I don't know. How much is 2 + 4? I have no clue. But it gets to Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach, and they're geniuses. The smartest guys he has. Perfect. All four of them instantly get a promotion. They all, right from that moment, start working in the king's court, alongside all of these guys who worked their entire lives to get there. A bunch of what are basically slaves from a foreign country get promoted to working directly under the king. So that's a pretty good promotion. That's a pretty good job. So the lesson today is eat your vegetables and get a good education and you'll get a really great job. No, that's not the lesson at all. Although that could probably be taught as well. What I really want you to get out of this situation is what Daniel saw and what God provided for him because of that situation. Would Daniel have been wrong in eating the fancy food, do you think? Right. So the situation was that this isn't just fancy food. The Babylonians are idol worshippers, and they practice that in everything they do. The food, right down to everything that they were drinking, was a sacrifice and a part of the participation in worshiping the Babylonian gods. So when Daniel saw that food, he didn't just see a piece of cheesecake. What he saw was a sacrifice to the god of cheesecake. And he said, I don't want to worship that guy. I've already got a god. And he can make cheesecake too. It's just not his main thing. So when he was given this task of, given this role of being a prisoner, Daniel didn't say, I want to go home. I don't like being here, but I might as well enjoy the fancy food. He said, actually, I think I can take advantage of this. I think I can do better than what you're expecting me to do with less. Here's what I want to put out to you, and this is what the lesson I want you to take away from this. When you are given a choice between doing the right thing, and even though it's hard, and doing the wrong thing, even though it's easy, and it might even be fun to do in the meantime, there's a very obvious choice to be made on God's part. He wants us to do the right thing. But even more than that, do you remember what happened to Daniel after he decided to do the right thing? God gave him blessings in order to accomplish what he had set out to do. So Daniel said, okay, I'm going to eat the vegetables and drink the water and study really hard. And God said, good man, that's my guy right there. Let's go ahead and give this guy some extra blessings. And he and all of his compatriots got that benefit. So what I want you to do is, next time you come up against a situation that's harder than it should be, and there's an easy way out, look for the opportunity to work hard for God and to get his outcome out of it. It's not always going to be as simple as getting kidnapped and having to decline some food offered to idols. It's not always going to be that cut and dried. I mean, it's kind of obvious what Daniel was supposed to do in that situation, right? Maybe not. But it's not always going to be obvious for us either. So what do we do in order to figure out what God wants us to do in our lives? Guess? Well, I don't think so. I think that we have to be in the same situation Daniel was when he got caught up in that mess. He already knew who God was, so that when a hard choice came around, he knew what choice to make. So, you're doing the right thing right now by being here, because this gives you an opportunity to meet God, to learn who he wants you to be, and learn who he is a little bit right now. And every time you sing a song about him, every time you read the scripture, every time you talk about him with somebody else and have an argument or have a civil discussion or have any kind of a conversation that expands your viewpoint, you are giving yourself an opportunity to grow in your experience with God. So that's the lesson for you today. I want each and every one of us to look at what we've got on our plate. This is the lesson for you guys too. Whatever you've got on your plate has been provided to you to do with what you will. But not everything that we have that's open to us is beneficial to us. Paul said that, right? He said, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. We have to grow the discernment to be able to decide what things provided to us are for God's glory and what things we can put aside and what things we can take up instead for his glory. So you might have some fancy food on your plate right now, but God's got some vegetables that he needs you to eat so that he can bless you better moving on. You've got a bad situation right now. I can guarantee you guys are all in the same situation too. There is something in front of you, an opportunity to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing, even though it's fully available to you, so you can put off doing something else. Like maybe I don't know, you play Destiny when you're supposed to be studying for your science test. Sorry for putting you on the spot. But, you know, maybe you do something else. Maybe you're texting one of your friends when you should be paying attention in church, for example. But there's a lot of things going on in our lives every moment that want to distract us from the things God wants us to do. And those things don't come to us passively either. We've got an enemy who wants to put roadblocks in our path. And we can't forget that. The devil wants to upset us. He wants us to fail. So when you come across that plate that you need to decide whether you're going to eat it or not, that's not because it's by accident, but because somebody's trying to mess us up. So if you have stumbled, any of you today, and you need restoration that comes from God, or if you need prayers from the church, or if we can do anything for you at all, we'd like to offer that opportunity for you as we stand and sing.